Hello, everyone. This is Glenda. And happy 4th of July weekend for all of you in the good old United States. We are celebrating the spirit of liberty. And we're going to take it a little bit higher in our call today because, as you know, even with the best of plans and the best of values, it doesn't always work out that way down on the level of the good old world. So we're going to acknowledge the ones who gave us this and reach higher for even higher, for greater states of freedom and liberty. We are very happy to have Nancy back with us.
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. I had a great time, but it's really nice to kind of get back home and get back into the groove. We sure had a great, great trip. Gosh, what a magical world we live in, you know?
We certainly do. And I'll pass on your comment to me that you need a vacation from your vacation now.
We were having a good time. Well, you know, there's so much to see when we went to the Grand Tetons and then up to Yellowstone, and I'd never been before, and, you know, our time was fairly limited. So we did like 12, 14-hour days of just sort of, you know, every turn was just something more magical and jaw-dropping, and gosh, what an incredible, if anybody can go, because it's truly God's handiwork that just is stunning, really.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I've always wanted to go and haven't made it yet. So I'll take your advice on that one. It sounds lovely. And it is lovely to have you back with us. We missed you, and everybody expressed their fondest wishes for you and Gary having a wonderful celebration of 40 years together. So
thank you.
And you know what? We as a community are having a celebration right now too, because it all began in 2010, this time of year. So we've been in our blessing services for 13 years. And of course, that doesn't include all of the preceding church services that we either joined into or presented ourselves. So we've been here for a long time, but the Sunday blessings have really been such a blessing to everyone that we just can't stop. We can't get enough of a good thing. So, Nancy, I would love for you to call, see who's on the board, and call them online. And
absolutely, we have our community. They're all coming in. So thank you for asking that. Let's see. We have hi Elizabeth. We're so glad you're here today.
Thank you, Nancy.
Can you hear us?
Welcome back. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for coming back again, and it's great to speak to you both. I just have just two blessings I'd like to ask. For a friend and her husband, it's Sonia and Dick, who were really devastated by the tornado upstate where my sister lives. And she's getting older. She's probably about 82, 83, and is just really traumatized by the whole thing, and she just really needs some support to get through it, because I think it's PTSD, really. You know, Glenda knows about hurricanes and things and what it does to you, and it's just that's what it is, I believe, and she's just needing some support. And also my sister, who went through the same thing. I'm up here this weekend just trying to get her house still back together, because we all know how long that takes when a hurricane or a tornado comes through. It doesn't get fixed overnight. So just ongoing support for my sister Virginia and for Sonia and Dick, who both went through this tornado. They just need to be held in the arms of Yeshua for a little while longer.
Well, God bless them.
Thank you.
God bless them. We will pray for them and hold them in our hearts during our blessing service today. We just extend our love to all people who are going through these types of traumatic events. And there's a long list of different assaults that we can experience in life that then become a traumatic wound we have to deal with. Sometimes we are just hit straight on by something such as a disease or an accident, and the pain is obvious, and we deal with it. We ask for help. We give ourselves patience, time to heal, and ask for God to hold us in His care. This is just a wonderful practice for those things we can see directly. But there's a lot of traumatic events that we don't see directly, but it leaves us feeling like our life has been broken into parts and pieces, and we don't know how to put it back together again. This is especially wounding to people, I would say, well, let's just say seniors, people
yes,
who
seniors,
are
yes.
past their time of building a life, and they were hoping they could retain what they built for another decade or two so that they could have a peaceful end of a cycle in this life. Mm. These things are extremely distressing when we see it often in the loss of a loved one, because when we share life with someone that deeply, their life is our life, and to have those pieces then scattered out, not being able to put them back together again, is highly traumatic. This could happen in a lot of ways, and it is, I would say, that type of trauma is more common for older people and the very young who haven't yet put their life back together yet. The loss of a parent or the abuse of a family or a parent and not knowing where and how to trust. These are extremely, extremely destructive events for the young and the old. In the middle years, we usually have our life pretty tightly put together, and what hits us is, thank goodness, visible so that we can treat it. But they're all of these types of events are things we need help with.
Yes, indeed.
All of them. All
very
of them
well
are
put.
Things we need God's help with. So let us hold all these people in prayer. And thank you, Elizabeth, for asking us. It's our pleasure and our joy to help.
Yes, and asking on their behalf, because they're a bit too traumatized, probably a bit to know that they can ask and things. So I'm just asking on their behalf to just have some help here.
Well, that's what we do. You know, we do ask on behalf of other people, because sometimes people in the midst of being hurt they're only semi-conscious, really. They're in shock. And that shock is actually what starts off this diagnosis we call PTSD, because you can't cope with life in the midst of shock.
Yes. Thank you, Glenda, so much. I appreciate that. That was very wise and very well put. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Elizabeth, I can really feel that your presence and your love is really making a difference for them. So that's so wonderful. You know,
well, thank you,
bringing us all into it.
Thank you. I'm trying to do the best I can to help on a, you know, practical, regular basis and put love into it as well. But
that makes all the difference.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. We love you, and we'll keep them in our hearts. And we have more callers, so I will move on. Let's see, Glenda, we have Susan. Hi, Susan.
Hi, what beautiful pictures. I'm glad you're back, and I'm glad you had a wonderful time. So I just wanted to let you know that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Meantime, Glenda, exactly what you said is what's going on with my family. My son, I don't know, he's married and he fell for somebody else and he's so freaked out about this. He's broken. He's never felt this way before. He's willing to go for counseling. If his wife wants to go for marriage counseling with him, fine. But I suggested that even if not, he needs it. He needs it, and he needs to go. And he's, you know, he's so broken he's willing because he's very willful. And to hear him in a state like this, he's just never been like this. He said to me, it doesn't feel like me. I just, you know, my heart's broken. And so I said, I don't really know of a therapist, but I'll put it out. First of all, I'll put it out for prayers, because just what you spoke about, Glenda, is exactly what's going on with him. He feels like you can't see the wound. You can't see the pain, but it's tremendous. And so I want to see if I can help him, if anybody is on the call and knows of a good counselor in Jersey, because he lives in Kinnelaw, New Jersey. I would just ask for, you know, some names, and because I wouldn't want him to just go to a counselor. I want him to go to somebody good. And where better could I start than asking for you people? So that's it.
Thank you. That's a great idea, Susan. And somebody, if you've got a name recommendation, just send it to me and I'll pass it on to Susan.
That'd be great. Mm-hmm. That'd be great. In the meantime, if you can put some prayers around his whole family. He's got one son, a 6-year-old son, and a wife named Melissa, and his name is Matthew. And this woman, I feel for her too, but, you know, with her, I might as well put her in on it, and her name is Joanna. This woman.
Well, you
who
know,
he,
everyone's hurting. You know, everyone.
Exactly. And she, you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. Well, you're in my heart. You have my love. And we will be praying for you and your family. And
thank
we
you.
Know how important this is for you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know, one thing I would like to follow up on with both Elizabeth and Susan is that people don't often know how badly they are suffering. They're suffering more than they know. And they're very defensive about the fact that they're suffering, because actually in nature, those who suffer are often expelled from the herd. People get the idea, if I'm suffering, no one wants to be around me, and no one can understand what I'm going through. Well, the fact is, most of us have been there also, and most of us do know what you're going through, and most of us actually do want to help. And so it's very important to ask on behalf of those who will not ask for themselves.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's what we do a lot in our blessing calls.
I was going to say that all his life he kind of leaned on me for a lot of the counseling, which I do. And I said, look, I said, just whatever decisions you make, you don't want to make them based on any emotion. You know, it's just not a good move to take action on emotion. You kind of have to sit back and basically I said, before you do anything, I think that counseling is called for. And, you know, see, he had said that, well, if she doesn't want to go, I guess that's it. I said, I don't think so. She doesn't want to go. You need to go without her if she doesn't want to go. And that's, you know, you just don't want to make any rash decisions. And because mistakes are one thing, but some of them, you know, can be devastating. And you don't want that. You don't want that, you know. So I said, honestly, a plan would be, you know, hopefully she'll want to go. But if she doesn't, then you must go. Mm-hmm. And that's my feeling. You can do what you want. I mean, you always do, basically, but you're calling me. So I'm telling you, you know, that's the best plan of action I could think of. And, you know, and it is. It is. You know, that's what came through me, and I believe it.
That's very good advice, and I'd like to expand on it. And that is, no matter what you're going through that feels bad, whether it's an illness, an emotional upset, a devastating hurt, you don't want it to go on forever. Okay. That's the one. But surprisingly, when people are in the middle of it, they think it will go on forever.
Right.
That's the deal. They think it will go on forever. And that's why you should not use your emotions to make decisions. Because according to your emotions, this is something I'll never get through. I'll never get over. I'll never get past it. There's no future. It's not true. There's an expiration date on everything. Mm-hmm. And we'll get over it. But you want to get over it in a way that on the other side, there's a future worth living.
Right. You want it, the outcome to be good. It can never be good by just acting on emotion. You'll be like a boat in a river, and there are rocks on either side, and there's nobody at the helm. God can't help you, me or you or anybody if no one is at the helm. That's it. You know, it's just, I said, thing is, you got to go, you need counseling. You're in bad shape, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. You need counseling, no matter what you do forward in your marriage or whatever. You need counseling. You just do. And hopefully she wants to, but if not, you need it. And that's my feeling. I mean, honestly, that's my feeling.
Well, it's your wisdom. It's your wisdom.
Exactly.
But
that's right.
But now you need to go. You need to just hold that wisdom with faith, Susan. Because someone's got to be in peace about this. And
exactly.
That may be, it's your job.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Exactly. I want to run. Part of me wants to run. Oh, no. You can't do that. I said, you've been doing this work for years. You got to be here in strong and centered. And he needs it. And you just got to be here for that.
Okay.
So
God bless
you.
We love you,
you,
and we're praying for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Love you all.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, Glenda, thank you for saying that about someone has to be in peace, because I feel like our community has done that, and the blessing has done that for my sister, who would never, ever ask. And she's coming up on her one-year anniversary of her husband's passing, and she's doing really great. And I just want to tell everybody thank you. And And I think we held the peace for her. And Glenda was right. She had to go through what she needed to feel. And now, you know, it's not lasting forever. She doesn't feel like she's in that, you know, that wave that you're talking about where you constantly are slammed and you don't think you're going to be able to breathe. So thank you. I just wanted to say that. So thank you.
Oh, wow. That is good. That is good.
It is good. Praise God. Okay, Susan, we do have some more callers, so I'm going to say goodbye.
Good. All right, love you.
Okay, love you. Hi, we have Caroline. We're so glad you're here.
Yeah, and
hi.
Congratulations on a wonderful 40th anniversary celebration. And I just came in a little bit late. Where were you? Where did you go?
We went to Wyoming, we went to the Grand Tetons, and then to Yellowstone.
Oh, wow. No wonder everybody was going on about the fabulous scenery there. Oh, my goodness. So I've got three very different blessings that I'd like to ask for. The first is that I may be in a potential new romantic relationship, and I have no clue how that's going to actually turn out, but it's always kind of difficult to know what's going on at the beginning, and I'd like a blessing for that to turn out well, or, you know, as the highest and best good for everybody concerned. And then, so that's the first blessing. And it's always kind of a little fraught when you're at the beginning of something. You never know how it's going to turn out. And then the second blessing I wanted to ask is for all those folks in Canada who are suffering so badly from the air quality and the fires and everything. Things are really bad over there. I don't know whether people realize how that's affected people in cities like Toronto. So that was the second one. And then the third blessing is also very, very different. We're going to have a big event here on the Hawaiian Islands, with, people talking about how to heal C-19 vax injuries. And all those folks involved, especially, one of the people who helped to organize it, they're all sort of putting their professions and their livelihoods and, you know, safety on the line doing this stuff. So I would love to have a blessing for a light of armor around all those folks who are brave enough to speak their truth about those kinds of things. So those are the three very different blessings that I would ask for today from the community.
Oh, well, we're with you on all three of them. And yes, Caroline, it takes courage to live. Whether it's the courage to start a new relationship, the courage to face the environment, or the courage to face opposition in honor of a greater truth. It does take courage to live. And we offer blessings to all the courageous. All the courageous who hold to their truth and don't get persuaded out of it. Those who have the courage to love and walk through the possibilities of what it may bring. And those who have to deal with the aftermath of environmental challenges that can be really quite horrible. And I'm speaking for one who has been through a few of those. The fires in Sedona, the Hurricane Harvey that hit right square on our little town, and others that are too long to mention. But the fact is, even those pass. What we bring with our love and with our faith is the courage to get on the other side of it. And I think one of the reasons we feel so stuck or trapped in some of the environmental situations is even greater than the pain itself, because right now our planet is so populated, there's no place to choose where something likely may not happen. You know, I can remember, well, I don't say remember, but I remember from reading in books and history where certain villages then became cities because they were favored for human experience. They were near a river that provided water. They were in a safe plain that rarely had fires. They were outside the hurricane or the tornado alleys. And today, we're having to cultivate our life wherever we can find open spaces. And that's having some repercussions that are causing us to think twice about where we live and where we want to plant our future. Because that's also a part of environmental negotiation. Nature is what it is. Our planet is what she is. And she has her cycles that she has to go through. In fact, from the viewpoint of the planet, many of these fires, excluding the few that have been destructively ignited, but as a general rule, most of them are absolutely essential for nature to rebuild itself. And all of the other things that strike us as being so horrible, we should not feel frightened of the earth.
We need to form a better dialogue with the earth, a better understanding of what its demands are, what its opportunities are, and what the challenges may come to us from living there. You know, a good example is something that Caroline has mentioned several times on our call asking for blessings about the genetic altering of mosquitoes. Well, nature actually needs mosquitoes. We don't need mosquitoes. Nature needs them. So the solution needs to be going in a different direction, a direction that is more protective for us, allowing us to have a good negotiational position with the planet without having to alter the nature of the mosquitoes, which are an integral part of the organic dynamics of our planet. So,
because it's a Pandora's box when you do that, when you mess with nature.
Yes. Oh, I didn't know you were still there, Caroline, but it's true. And so for all of these things, we ask for wisdom, we ask for courage, and we ask for humility to realize that it's not all about us. You know, right now, we are, how many billions are we? About 10 billion people on this planet. We're edging up close to that, I think. That's pretty huge. Back in the day when most of the books of wisdom were written, we were a minority species on this planet. And that minority position encouraged us to be humble and wise and good negotiators with nature. And it produced a lot of the values that have made our communities and our, speaking of the United States and other nations as well, desirable places to live, places that honor freedom. And we're going to have to take a bold new look at freedom in the next 2 decades. It's not far in front of us where we're going to have to take a bold new look at what freedom is, because we're beginning to see protests on every neighborhood today, in just about every venue and every belief system, every country around the world. And that's because people are wanting to have a new experience of freedom. But unfortunately, most people do not know what freedom is. They think it's the right to destroy something. They think it's the right to just ventilate everything they feel, negative or positive. Let's just throw it all out. Let's get rid of the garbage and throw it on the street. Well, I suppose for the person throwing the garbage out, it might feel a little bit like freedom at first, but it doesn't make them feel good. Real, genuine freedom is the freedom to be who you are that God created. And if you read very carefully the Bill of Rights that were written into our Constitution, every one of those bills has to do with the respect of person. The respect of person. Well, we don't look at that very much anymore because we think freedom is in the external world. Well, it's not. There's nothing in the external world that's free. Nothing. You either pay for it with money, or you pay for it with experience, or you pay for it with tolerance, or you pay for it with recovery and learning. And sometimes it's a hard lesson that we learn. So the real freedom is inside. The real freedom is the inner exploration to discover, in fact, who you really are. Mm-hmm. And when you are in that space, the world obeys you, and you don't have to do anything to make that happen. Because when you find out who you are a child of God. And the presence of God resides in you. And that presence is the same presence that created the universe. And will circumstances obey that presence? Amen, they will. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in others. I've seen it happen in myself. And in my most challenging times, when I didn't know the answer to anything, I went inside and found that freedom to be who I am and to join in faith with my Heavenly Father. And He created the freedom I needed. We're in...
Wow.
One of, I'm sorry. Did you have something to say?
No, just wow. Thank you.
Well,
that was great.
Well, it is wow. Because the person at the helm that was spoken about by Susan... The ship going down the river and nobody's at the helm. Well, the one at the helm is God. Now, this has become increasingly difficult to discuss in a world that is becoming highly atheistic and distrusting those who have religious conviction. Well, it's not going to stay that way. And all you need to do, my friends, is quietly and courageously, internally, just be who you are. And let the world be amazed at how things move graciously around you. And they'll be asking questions. And let them keep asking questions for a while until they're ready to hear the real answer. And don't say it's because I took X, Y, or Z supplement, or I studied X, Y, Z technology. That's not the answer. The answer is that you discovered who you are, and who you are is standing in the light of God.
Yeah. That's so good. Well, Caroline, thank you for bringing that all out through the...
Thank you. That was a tremendous... Yeah, a tremendous teaching there, Glenda. Thank you.
Well, you know, I like to work them in because I feel that Yeshua brings the questions to me through your questions about life and how do I get through this. You're basically asking your questions to him. I just have the ears to hear. That's it. And, you know, that actually goes back to his teachings as well. Those who have eyes to see and those who have ears to hear will receive answers.
Right.
And so this service is a platform for you to ask the questions. And I'll give you a little piece of wisdom that will always stand by you. And here's what it is. There are no bad questions. Sometimes there are questions that really are not questions. They're concealed accusations. Like, why did you do that? That's a concealed accusation. That's not a question. Now, a question would be, is there something going on for you that I can help you with? Now, that's a question. You have to watch out for those concealed accusations that look like questions, but they're not. You're just probing for leverage. And a lot of people use that as their negotiation skill. They're probing for something they can use. But it's not really a question. But when you really get down to it, I'm talking about the real question. And I do this. I will make a whole meditation session out of getting to the real question. Something's bothering me. And I will go into meditation and I will ask myself, what's really bothering you, kid? What's it really all about? And
And I'll come up with a few, well, circumstantial answers. Like, well, you know, my car's getting old. I know I have to pay. I can't afford a new one. That's not it. Okay. You know, you get past the material answers and you keep asking, what really is bothering you? What is it? And I finally get down to, well, there are all these problems going on in the world, and I don't seem to have any power over them. I'm trying my best. I do the best I can to help the people in my life. I really extend myself with all my heart, and I just keep hitting on a wall of frustration. And how can I get through that? What is the answer? And then I get the answer. The answer is, there is no wall, my dear. You have to have more faith in yourself. That wall you're encountering is your shortage of faith, or perhaps your shortage of courage. And have you really, really looked into everything you can to learn about everything that pertains to your problem? And of course, I'll have to answer, well, my Lord, as always, you're right. And then I'll get real quiet and real peaceful. And all of a sudden, in seemingly a miraculous way, everything will change in my attitude. And everything will begin to change in what I considered a problem. So we find that the problem and the answer are very closely akin, and not with a lot of improbable distance between one and the other. The problem is the answer, but you have to get deep into it in order to see their connection.
I love how he said you have to confess them and kind of bring it up, because in doing that, it was really kind of scientific, he said, because it really means you have to be subject specific in things. So it's like, it's really helpful when you say it out loud and talk to yourself.
Well, it is. Well, it is. And, you know, it's spoken of several times in the New Testament by the apostles to confess to one another. And it wasn't just about confessing what you did wrong. You might be confessing your problem, or you might be confessing your sense of fear or weakness in obtaining what you need for your family. Nobody likes to feel weak, my friends. Nobody likes to feel frustrated. And we have a hard time confessing to one another what we actually need. And people get tired of hearing that you need somebody to mow your lawn or come and wash your dishes. That's not what you need. You know, anybody can do the little jobs of life themselves. They really can, unless they're highly challenged or sick or disabled in some way. But so often we think those little jobs and obstacles are what we're having trouble with, and it's not. Actually, you have more power than you have ever even thought you have. You have the power to move a mountain. And Yeshua said to the apostles, if you have faith even so small as the mustard seed, which is very, very small, very small, like a little sesame seed. If you have even that much faith, you can say to the mountain, come, and it will come. And that's at the heart of almost every problem we have. But it takes a while to get to the heart of the problem, because we've assigned powers that we can't control. Well, I don't have enough money. Well, I don't have any help in this. Well, I need an employee. We just come up. I got to get the oil changed on the car, or I can't drive it. I can't afford to get that done. We assign all kinds of solutions, which were not even the problem in the first place. When you get your life right with God, everything starts working. Everything. Because there's nothing he doesn't miss. Absolutely nothing. I can tell you a sweet little story from just today. Sunday is the day I have to take out my my trash, because they pick it up very, very early on Monday morning, and it's before I'm up, so it has to go out on Sunday. And I was gathering things out, separating the recycles from the disposables and so forth. And I got down to the bottom of my little office garbage can. It's not really garbage pail. Anyway, I got down to the bottom, and I noticed something moving. And it was a little tiny baby lizard. So tiny. It was still transparent. And I thought, I really wasn't thinking, actually. I wouldn't have done this in my right mind, but I was just fascinated with it, and I wanted to share it with my cats. And I wasn't thinking that, well, maybe that little lizard might not live too long if I shared it with my cats. I just wasn't thinking. But anyway, I tried to get them to the little garbage can, and they wouldn't come. They wouldn't come. And I said, there's something in here. You'll enjoy, you'll like to see. And they turned their heads away. They wouldn't come. Okay, who was in charge of that? Well, God, yes. But that little lizard wanted to live. And he had the faith of life. He huddled under the edge of the little garbage can. And I said, okay, sweetie, I'm taking you out to a patch of grass, and we'll put a little water out here, and you have a good life. And I just set the garbage can down on the ground, and he walked out, and he looked back up at me, not at all afraid of me, not at all scared of me. And he went over, he had a little sip of water, and then he scurried off in the grass. And I just said, God be with you. And I know that he was. So that little lizard had the ability to repel three cats that could have made a little caviar or d'oeuvre out of him. Okay? That's how much power you have that you don't think you have. Now, if you have it, why don't you think you have it? Well, I've got an answer for that. And that is, you wouldn't know what to do with it. If you really knew you had that much power, oh my gosh, what would I do with it? And would they come, would others come after me that feared me? You know, that lizard had to be having little thoughts like that too. If I showed up, would they come after me? So he stayed very still. He knew he could trust me, but he stayed very, very still. He didn't want to do anything with it. And when he got free, he scurried off in the grass because he knew, well, a big part of life is a game. And we have to play the game skillfully and with wisdom. And then the other thing about, well, why would I, what would happen if I had all of this power? There's a responsibility that would go with it. Oh, yeah, there is. A big responsibility. Look, Christianity, I don't know how many billions of Christians we have now, but 2 or 3 years ago I looked and there were over 5 billion accounted for Christians, not to mention the ones who call themselves Christians but don't go to church. 5 billion. And it all started from one giant person and 12 apostles. That's it. That's how big they were. That's how big. Okay? And those apostles did not start out in their life as giant, powerful people. You know, one was a tax collector, one was a fisherman. They all had menial jobs. One was a carpenter. Just ordinary menial jobs, unknown to most people, and yet they changed the world. Well, you can too. You can too. You know, this wasn't supposed to start with Jesus, stop with Jesus Christ. That's where it started. It's going to go forward and forward and forward, and you're part of the chain. You're part of it. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to let you know that no matter how small you might think you are, you actually can move a mountain. If a baby lizard can prevent three adorable, highly aggressive cats to walk away, you can do the same thing. Okay?
Yay. Well, thank you, Caroline. Wow.
Wow.
What did he say? He said, know the truth and you shall be free. I think she's saying, know who you are. Love is who we are. And that love is quite powerful, as you're saying, Linda. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And faith and courage is the solution.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. The enemy is not as big as you think he is. Or they are. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're not as big as you think they are. And they commit crimes and puff and blow hard and all this to keep people afraid. Because if they can just keep you afraid, you won't be courageous. You see how it works? If you're not courageous, mm-hmm. you won't discover who you are. And if you don't discover who you are, then you won't have the power of God to move that mountain.
That's a good one. If they keep you afraid, you can't be courageous. Wow. That's fabulous.
Right.
Well, thank you, Caroline. We've got more community here waiting. So are you good?
Yes. Well, thank you for covering so many important issues there, Glenda. And love to everyone.
Yeah,
love you, too. Okay, Glenda, we have Kelly. Hi, Kelly.
Yeah. Hi. I appreciate being here. I don't think I have a question. I thought this was more like having a blessing. I'm relating a lot to this PTSD stuff. I'm 40 years old, and I'm still dealing with a lot of the PTSD. I just didn't even know until about 5 years ago that these things are stored in our bodies. I mean, I've had many years of therapy, but the talk therapy didn't work. And I was working with someone. She passed away. Like, I was working with her shamanically to help clear those things in my body, but she passed away in February, and I don't even think she knew how much she was helping me. I feel like I bleed on people. I don't have a lot of friends, and the one person I do rely on, I feel like I overburden, and I don't want to do that, and I want to be able to step out and be part of more of a community, but the neurodivergence that I have, that I experienced, it's hard for me to explain it, but it keeps me more alone because I feel like people don't understand me. I'm so misunderstood. Like, I come off as, like, maybe either rude or really weird and strange when I'm in social situations because I am just different, but you can't, I don't know. I just feel like I experienced a neurodivergence from my, maybe it's from my trauma, I don't know, but I don't want to be like that, and I just feel like I just need a lot of help, and I don't know, I'm just dealing with a lot, and I feel like I complain a lot. I don't want to complain, but it's stored in my body, and I just need help with the clearing, and I have a lot of physical issues, too, that I don't really talk about, but maybe it's related. I just want to be a better person. I want to be a better nurse. I want to be a better friend. I want to be able to... I went back to church for the first time today, but it was really overwhelming. Like, for me, just something that basic. I've only been to the grocery store since the pandemic. Like, I haven't really gone anywhere, like, socially. Uh-huh. So this is the first time being back there. And I felt like maybe I was rude to the minister there. I didn't want to be like that, but I felt really overwhelmed when I first walked in. I couldn't even, like, talk to her or anybody. I just want to go in and sit down. And, like, I have those kind of issues. Like, I don't appear normal in social situations. It might come off rude to somebody else, and I don't want to be like that. I don't know what my question really is, but I just need help.
Well,
I want to be not normal. I don't feel like I have a life, you know?
Yeah. Well, Kelly, you're not expected to ask a question. This is a blessing call, and it's open for people to ask for a blessing for whatever ails them or troubles them. And then also some people come on the call to give thanks for blessings they've received or to give acknowledgement to God that you know, I was in this situation, and I felt the presence of God and got better. This is just about blessings. It's not about questions and answers. It just happened that we got onto that subject, as we often can. Is this your first time on the blessing call?
Yes, and I want to say thank you, and I'm deeply blessed for Lorraine for telling me about this call, and I feel deeply blessed for her in my life because she does a lot for me, and I wish I could do more for her. Sometimes I feel like I'm more of a burden just because I'm not able to feel like I want to return things the same way.
Okay. Well, first of all,
I'm blessed.
Your burden. Actually, people want to help you. They do. People like to be needed. They like to be important to someone else.
Yeah.
Of course you do. Of course you do. And for this, I would say there's nothing you have to do to receive a blessing. We will, the blessing givers and I will have a period coming up very soon. We've gone kind of a long time on discussions today, which is not usual, not typical, but it seemed to be needed. And we're going to have a time where we just will offer a prayer, and then you just sit and receive. There's nothing you have to do other than just to open yourself and receive. Just receive the blessings of God, of the Holy Spirit, and of Jesus. Just love, the healing, the wholeness that comes to you. And just let it be whatever it wants to be. And then come back again next week and then the week after. You know, it takes sometimes a while to germinate a seed that's in the ground. I often told a story about when my mother, and we're talking about decades ago, she had just gotten married, wanted to start a garden, and she had a few pumpkin seeds she wanted to plant. And she kept digging them up every day to see if they had sprouted. Well, of course, that destroyed the sprouts every time she dug them up. And finally, my father said, "Why are you doing that?" And he said, "You have to let the sprouts grow in silence and quietness."
Yeah.
So that's why we make this call available absolutely free to everyone every Sunday. Come and just enjoy the energy.
Thank you.
Okay, and you're always welcome. And you don't have to say a thing.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, there are a lot of people on this call today who are not going to talk.
Okay.
That's partly because we don't have time for everybody, but it's also partly because they don't feel the need to. They know that God knows their every need. And what they're doing is making themselves available and present and in spirit asking for a blessing by just coming.
Thank you.
So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Okay, Kelly, thank you. You'll feel the powerful blessing, I'm sure, today. So be blessed. And now we have Stormy.
Yes, I'm going to keep it very simple. I give gratitude for the eternal blessings I have received and made myself available to be able to receive. And I continue to receive these eternal blessings that I am, that you are, that we all are, as we know each other, live our lives, whether we're seen or unseen. And if before you were born, I will know you after you have gone. This is that eternal blessing we all have with each other.
Amen. Beautifully said, Stormy. Thank you.
Thank you, Stormy.
Yes.
Okay. Linda, we have Francesca. Hi.
Yes. Hello. Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm so grateful to be here again this week, and I wanted to say thank you for past blessings, and also, Glenda, to thank you for the content of today's call, because I feel like it spoke so much to things that I needed to hear, you know, and so I'm very, very grateful, so thank you. And I just want to ask for a blessing for me to be able to be the love that I am in my workplace without being tossed around. I sometimes it's easy to get tossed around. So I guess I'm not completely there yet, but thank you once again.
Well, step back from the traffic lane.
Okay. Thank you.
That always works for me.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Step back. Did you say step back from the traffic lane, Glenda?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to try and stay out of the traffic. Yeah.
And there's a lot
of
different kinds of traffic. It comes in all forms.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, we love you, Francesca, and thank you so much for asking and coming on today.
Yep, thank you so much. Love you all. Thank you.
You're welcome. We have Nancy here. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Welcome back. You must feel, you know, when I go to the Tetons, I remember the hymn, How Great Thou Art. You just help it, seeing all those mountains and beautiful scenes. It's just magnificent. But hello, Glenda, and I say a special Sunday blessing for everybody on the call. And I just wanted to add to the blessing for the people in Canada who are experiencing the fires. As you know, I was in Wisconsin. We actually had to leave Green Bay, Wisconsin, because over big areas of the United States, the smoke is making it hard and sometimes impossible if you're in it for people to mm-hmm. breathe. So I'm back in Florida now. We just cut short our summer vacation and said, this doesn't work for us. We're going to have to do something. So we said, well, we'll just go home. And I am so grateful for the blue skies in Florida at this point, but I also remember, for example, Chicago had an air quality alert that was the highest. It was like hazardous air quality and affected everybody. So we need to remember there are millions of people not affected by the fire and not in Canada, but that are affected by the smoke. And I asked them to be included in that original blessing.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. And
I'm
know. you know, there was a time back in the early 2000s when there were forest fires all over Arizona, and particularly dangerous one that was running up Oak Creek Canyon all the way from Sedona to Flagstaff. And the smoke from it was unbelievable. It was just like nothing, like if I stuck my head in a barbecue pit.
Yeah, it's amazing because we breathe totally unaware of what a gift clean air is sometimes. Air pollution understand it a little bit better. But anyway, and one of the things that surprised me as I started, because then I started paying attention to what was going on, and I was reading about the smoke and the particle sizes and so forth, and some of these smoke particles are very, very small, 2.5 microns and less. Mm. So you could put on an N95 mask and still not be totally protected. It gives you some protection, and that's good. But this is a very serious thing for many, many people in our country and in Canada. So that's why I ask. And that's all I wanted to ask today. So we don't need to spend more time on the request, but a little time in the blessing I would ask.
Absolutely, and we will.
Thank you.
And yeah. And I'm glad you're welcome home, Nancy. I'm glad you made that decision and got back to safety.
Oh, yes. Luckily we were able to choose a different response to what was going on. And we said we don't want to have false hope that the wind direction is going to totally change and these conditions will be fine, because it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Those fires aren't under control the last time we looked. But anyway, so we fortunately we had a choice and we made it. So
exactly. And that's what I was pointing out. And I think that it's very relevant for so much unhappiness and disturbance in the world in many areas, because people are not having the choice about so many things that they once had. And we're saying, what's going on? Are we being entrapped? Are we being manipulated? What do we have to fight? It's something we've never seen before on almost a catastrophic level of our freedom being limited just simply by circumstance, the circumstance of the environment, situations happening that no one expected, and not knowing how to live well together under tight spaces, under challenging conditions. And this brings us back to what Yeshua taught us, and that is to love one another. That starts with loving yourself, being the love that you are and extending it out, finding ways to love one another. Now, that's not going to make the smoke go away. So I'm not naive about that. But actually, Nancy, when people get into that state of love, it does change environments. And it does affect everything from fires to tornadoes, hurricanes, and tsunamis. It does change situations.
It
because
does.
Because love is the power that created the universe. So when we're strong in it, we are able to take care of each other better. We're able to command the mountain to turn around and go in another direction.
Exactly. You know, Glenda, one of the things that did happen, my nose was running so bad, and I was inside. I had an air conditioner going. We bought an air filter, and my nose wouldn't stop running. And finally, I said, what are you doing? why don't you ask for the blessing that your sinuses go back to their normal operation? Because I had to fly back. And I was afraid. I thought, well, if I show up at the airport like this, they can't let me on the plane. So I asked for the blessing that my sinuses become normal and my nose stop running. And do you know, Glenda, they dried up.
I
did
it
the day before I had to fly. And I still have a cough, but my nose was so much better. My sinuses are so much better. And I just thought, thank you, God, that we can ask our bodies to do things and they respond. Our bodies respond when we ask and receive the blessing. So I was grateful for that. I wasn't going to mention that. But, boy, it's true. We have a lot of things we can do, but asking for a shift that we need is a major part of living comfortably and in joy and in good health. So
absolutely.
Thank you, God, for all of that.
You got it, Nancy. And that is the greatest secret of living. You've got to ask. You've got
to ask.
And
I know sometimes.
It's hard to be available in this world. The fact is, it is hard to be available in a world that could be full of viruses or people that want to impose their realities on you in a violent way. It is hard to be available. But faith makes you available.
It does. The only thing you have to do, sometimes I feel like bopping myself in the forehead and saying, why don't you just ask?
Exactly.
Because you know you get so embroiled in the reality, you forget.
Uh-huh. You do. You do. You think the battle is in the material world, and it
and
isn't.
That's not
what the battle is.
No. But anyway, thank you, God, for all the blessings we receive. It's just amazing. So
yes, and thank you, Nancy, so much for your continued support of this work and being here almost every Sunday. We love you, and we miss you when you have to be somewhere else.
Oh, thank you, Glenda, and I love you and everybody on the call, and I'm glad Nancy's back, and I'm glad she had a wonderful experience. And you better mute me now. We've already taken up a lot of time, so.
We love hearing your faith and your love. So. Well, bye-bye for now, Nancy. We'll
bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, Glenda.
Nancy, are
thank
we
you.
Free?
Yes, we are free. Oh. We are clear. And thank you, Nancy, and for tying that in with Stormy about always, you know, the eternal blessings, receiving them and being open. So thank you. And, yeah, we are at the end of our callers. So, Glenda, we're good.
All right, we are ready. And it was so nice to have a new caller. You know, it just warms my heart to welcome new people, and I just hope you have a wonderful blessing today. Now, for everybody who's been here, or there may be some who are just coming for the first time also, but you didn't speak up, and you don't have to. You never have to say a thing. This is between you and God. Okay, we're just facilitators. That's all. We're just messengers. And we love being messengers for you. But now, it's time that we kind of got our bodies relaxed and limbered. You may think, well, I've just been leaning back in my chair. How could I be more relaxed? Well, stand up and find out. You'll find that your leg got stiff, your hips got stiff, your back doesn't want to move. Okay, so this is the time when we're going to put your body into a little bit of different position. And it's not calisthenic, it's not yoga, it's not anything strenuous. We just want you to move your arms a little bit. We want you to move your legs a little bit. Move to the right and the left to give a little bit of fluidity to your spine. Tilt your head back and then forward and to the right and the left and squint your shoulders up and then relax them. Okay, and then bend down just a little bit, not enough to strain your back, just enough to stretch your legs, okay? And move your leg forward and lean against it so you stretch it in front, and then look forward and lean against it so you stretch it in the front on the other one. Just get your body to where it's in the flow. We want a little river of energy moving through your body. That's all. Now you can sit back down or lie down, be in a hammock, whatever floats your boat is what we want for you. And just be in a peaceful state of mind. We're going to start now with a very deep breath, one that expands your diaphragm well down into your abdomen and expands your rib cage so that your lungs are totally full of air. Hold it for a few seconds and then begin to release it. And release it so totally that your diaphragm is pushing up against your lungs. And you have to squinch your shoulders down to force it all out because you want to empty it. And now you're going to fill it up again with fresh air. And expand your lungs and your diaphragm completely, completely, and hold it. And then thank you, God, for this breath. And now give it back. Give that breath back to the world from which it came. Okay. Now just breathe normally, but we're going to add a little touch of consciousness to it. We're going to do our four square breath, which is breathing out, breathing in to the count of four with pauses in between. And you might think, well, what does this do? It causes you to be mindful about your breath, because your breath literally is your life. And your life works the same way. We give into life. We give life a chance to accept our contributions. And then we take back what we need from life. And we are patient with ourselves to receive and infuse that which we receive from life. And in order to create the pauses we need and the pacing we need to do that, we count to four. So we're going to exhale to the count of four, but it will be your four. I'm not going to count it for you because we've all got a different rhythm. We've all got a different pace. The only reason for the counting is that so you're aware of the time you spend exhaling. Then you're going to pause to the count of four. Okay. To let your breath be received. Then you're going to inhale to the count of four. So that you receive your share of breath and life back. Be patient in the fullness of your body to receive to the count of four. Okay, and now you're comfortable with your breathing. It's a natural process that allows you to exhale again to the count of four. I'm going to start my prayer to Yeshua. And then you will follow with more of your four square breathing as we go through this. And I will ask the blessing givers to join me in offering the blessing.
The blessing is from your Heavenly Father, God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, and Yeshua, or Jesus, as you may or may not prefer. Same name, same person. Yeshua was his original name. Then we translated it into English, and at that point it became Jesus. So, and it's different in every language. So whichever you feel comfortable with is fine. We will ask to be blessed. And in order to ask, you will pray. While we are offering the blessing, you will enter your prayer. And it's as simple as that. There's nothing else to do except relax and receive. All right. Continue your breathing. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, Son of God, we pray today for all of those in need, for all of those who are hungry or suffering from any cause, environmental, personal pain, relationship, financial, whatever the suffering, feeling trapped in life, not able to move. We ask your prayer for each person who has a need, that their needs be met, and that they be met in a mighty way by our Heavenly Father, that all blocks be removed and all challenges conquered, that they may find their faith, their courage, and their love to simply receive that which God has in store for all of us and has created so beautifully for each person, that we may become our living destiny. We are not what the world says we are. We are children of God, created by God to be who we really are. May that unfold for everyone. May the children be loved. May the hungry be fed. May those who need desperately a change in life be moved to where they belong and where they can be served and where they can serve others. We ask that your love abound in the world and change circumstances for everyone, that we may have eventually the kingdom of heaven on earth. For all of this and more, for those who have asked today, and for all those we ask for, we ask in your holy name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now and let us conduct the energy of the Holy Spirit to bless these wonderful people who have assembled in your name and for the power of your love. Amen. Let us begin.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given, but it's not yet complete until you receive what has been given. So now I want you to lie down in bed or stretch out on your sofa where you can be totally quiet. And even all sleep is okay. Just one thing, don't continue your prayer because you'll have words in it. You may have worry in it. Just be quiet and receive. Allow yourself to be a blank slate upon which the blessings of God will be written. So, bye-bye for now. I wish you a very blessed week and look forward to being with you again next week.